Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Clement of Alexandria, the early Christian theologian, wrote this about 200 AD. In our sickness, we need a saviour. In our wanderings, a guide. In our blindness, someone to show us the light. In our thirst, the foundation of living water that quenches forever the thirst of those who drink from it. We dead people need life. We sheep need a shepherd. We children need a teacher. The whole world needs Jesus. The whole world needs Jesus. My premise this morning, the whole world needs Christ because through Christ all things were made. This is all God's creation, this world we live in. Everything is God's, and every person is created by God. Every person we will ever meet. We are created by God, and we are meant to live for God and with God. When that is broken, we are lost. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can become children of God. So, from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. As befits this festive season, I've brought in a Christmas tree, and this is one of my favourite birthday presents I've ever had. We were trying to work out how long ago it was we got this, maybe 15 years, something like that. The garden centre near my old office this time of year always put on a wonderful fancy display of all the Christmas decorations that you could buy. Streamers and lights and tinsel. Loads of tinsel. And I loved going round looking at all this stuff. And I especially liked fibre optic Christmas trees. Trees that light up when you plug them in. Now, alas, they can be quite expensive. And I could never justify buying one. So I just had to be content with wandering around and festive window shopping. Jane, my wife, can be rather cunning. She worked out the best time to buy a fibre optic tree is in the summer sales. No one in their right minds goes Christmas tree shopping in August. And she managed to find this little beauty at the garden centre at a significantly reduced price. So it suddenly became in our gifts budget. She bought it and presented it to me on my birthday at the end of the summer. Not only was it what I wanted, she knows how much I love a good discount. So we get it out each Christmas. We put it up in the kitchen. It cheers the place up. And it reminds us we're a bit of a strange couple, to be honest, with our birthday present Christmas tree. And for the sake of the people listening on the podcast, imagine this tree. It's about 3 metres tall. It's dazzling everybody with the immensity of the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. All things. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It might open up some challenging questions, as not everything is nice. Not everything seems good. Certainly not everything is easy. But God is the creator above everything. Without him, there is nothing. And that is why I brought my Christmas tree in this morning. When I was a new Christian, I used to worry about Christmas. I've always loved the festive season from when I was a child. My parents were great at making it an enjoyable family time. Although we weren't allowed to come downstairs to open our presents until the coal fire was lit. And that, you know, I'm not old, are we? But once Jesus got hold of me, I realised I was doing all this Christmas stuff without wondering if it actually related to Christ. So I did a bit of research. And you won't be surprised to know the internet is a fat load of useless trying to work these things out. Lots of websites like to draw parallels between Christmas and the Roman end-of-year festival, Deus Solis Invicti Nati, the day of the birth of the unconquered sun. Huh? Modern secular thought goes even further, saying something like, most researchers believe that Christmas originated as a Christian substitute for pagan celebrations of the winter solstice. So on December the 25th, will I be a Roman celebrating a pagan solstice festival? Then I realised, who do you think created the winter solstice? Who created the seasons, the natural rhythms of life? God ordained all these things. God set the universe in motion. God ordained the physical laws that govern how our world functions. Through the Word, all things were made. We know this, right? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God made loads of cool stuff. But sometimes, without thinking, I can live as if God only made the nice stuff, or the Christian stuff, the churchy stuff. Of course, we know the natural world, in all its wonder, can reveal God. But it's not just nature. Go on. Who's that? There you go. René Descartes, the 17th century scientist, philosopher, and father of analytical geometry, he described God this way: God is eternal, infinite, unchangeable, omniscient, omnipotent, the creator of everything that exists apart from himself. He knew science and mathematics were created by God. Music, art, architecture, physics, engineering, whatever your God-given skill and passion is, fundamentally, it is created for him and by him. Without him, nothing has made that has been made. The earliest people knew this, knew God and worshipped God. When Adam and Eve celebrated the turn of the season, when dark nights finally started to change at what we call the winter solstice, they knew who was behind it, upholding the universe. It was only later generations that lost sight of the Creator and turned to their own understandings. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. But they had the truth in the beginning. Historians sometimes use the term pre-Christian. When that's used just to mean the time before Jesus' ministry on the earth, or the time before the church impacted the earth, then that's fine. But sometimes it's used to describe a better, purer time, before organized Christianity superseded indigenous, natural, pagan, sometimes more wholesome life. Taken that way, it's bonkers. There has never been a time pre-Christ. He was with God in the beginning. It's really difficult to get a good photo of St. Patrick, the 5th century missionary, where he doesn't look a little bit derpy, or a whole lot derpy, or that he just lives in a window. Anyway, I saw a TV programme a few months ago about St. Patrick, and it said when he first took the gospel to Ireland, he deliberately looked to take over the existing Druidic festivals with Christian worship as part of his evangelism. And the guy on the TV said, this was a bad thing. I don't think it was. I think he was helping people exchange the lie for the truth, helping serve not created things, but the Creator. And that brings us back to Christmas. If it's true that Christians took over the Roman sun-worshipping festival, then that was a good thing. Who do you think created the sun in the first place? Jesus was there first. So do you like Christmas lights? Well, fill your house with them. Turn them on and consider Jesus, light of the world. Christmas trees are your thing? Get the biggest one that just about fits in your house and be amazed that all life, all growth, all fertility comes from the Lord of Lords. Whatever you take delight in our Father's creation and work, unashamedly celebrate and worship. Be full of confidence. It's easy sometimes to feel as if the church, we're a little marginalised group in the corner. Will the gospel ever triumph? Will the kingdom ever come? When doubts like that rear their heads, let us remind ourselves, God is creator. Everything around us is his. He is that mighty. Regain our confidence in God's rightful position at the centre of the cosmos. In the beginning, God. So just as God created everything, he created everyone. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Bible commentaries say this was a bit of a dig at the Jews, as they were the chosen people who should have celebrated the Messiah's coming, but they did not receive him. But I think it's more than that, and the scope is a whole lot wider, because everyone, every single person is made by God. We know Psalm 139, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." God did that. And that's not just believers, that's everyone. Acts 17, "The God who made this world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. And as God is our creator, then everyone belongs to God." Quick question. Anybody know why this building is famous? If you need a clue, it's number one Hackaway in Menlo Park in California. A bit more of a clue. Who's this guy? What company does he essentially own? And where do you think his office is? Imagine if Mark Zuckerberg turned up at number one Hackaway and the security guard wouldn't let him in. "Sorry, mate, you don't have your ID badge." I suspect that's what would be called a career-limiting move. When your multi-billion dollar boss turns up, you don't turn him away. So how much more must we not turn away the Lord of Lords, the one who was there at the beginning? We don't just work for him, we belong to him. And he has say over our lives. As Romans 9 puts it, "Does not the potter have a right over the clay?" This is the basis of God's judgment in the last days, God holding each person to account for their lives. It is right and proper that God sets the standard, the conditions for everyday life, because we were created by him. And so everyone should acknowledge God as creator. We know from the Christmas story, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. But just the shepherds? That should have been everyone's reaction. This theology has huge implications, which I'll leave it as your homework to consider in detail. But one impact is this. We believe that every human life is important. Whatever the state of rebellion in someone's heart, they are fundamentally God's possession. And so we treat all people with kindness and respect as much as possible. One of the charities that we gave our Give Big money to last month was the Oasis Centre in Gorton. They try to look after and support people in one of the poorest areas of the country. But they don't support Christians. They show love to all of God's people, whether those people acknowledge his ownership of them or not. I have worked over the years with some annoying people, some foolish, some deceitful, some unpleasant, some just generally a bit useless. But I have to acknowledge they were all created by God. Think about the people you work with, or study with, or live with. Ponder for a moment. God created them and God has ownership over them. What difference does that make to how you see them, how you pray for them, how you live with them? Having said all that, John's gospel makes it clear that not everyone received him. This is not a vague universalism. Some of you will know that I work one day a week helping with CCM finances. So last month, when I was paying expenses, I made a mistake. I know. I was supposed to be paying some expenses to our very own Andy Wisdom, and I pressed the wrong button on the computer and accidentally sent his money to the wrong Andy. Now, the other Andy from one of the other CCM sites was really good, understood, refunded the money, and we got it to the right Andy in the end. But just imagine what other Andy might have felt. Out of the blue, without doing anything, suddenly extra cash just turned up in his account. Woohoo! I sometimes think some people hope that salvation is going to be like that. We're going along being nice, not breaking too many laws, maybe giving a little bit to charity, and we think salvation is just going to pop into our accounts. If you are not a Christian here this morning, I have some bad news about the good news of Jesus. You're going to have to do something about it. You have to take hold of what God is offering. You have to give yourself to him. You have to receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Do you see the scandal in that? The audacity of those words. Here today, those who believe in the name of Jesus have the right to be children of God, adopted into the family of God, brothers and sisters to Jesus, the firstborn. Awesome. This word right, or exousion in the Greek, can also mean power, authority. Vines, which is the classical biblical expository dictionary, says exousia denotes freedom to act, authority for the action. We who have received Jesus into our lives, who have proclaimed him as our Lord, have the right to become children of God. It is appropriate. It's expected of us. It would be wrong not to take that on ourselves. God has given us freedom to be his children and authority to act as his children. I must admit, that's not how I feel most of the time. I usually feel I've got into the kingdom by the skin of my teeth, and I hope God won't find me out. Who here rents a house or a room in a house? Has anyone been asked to move out to have their contract terminated? Good, I'm glad. It's a bit weird. We had that when we first got married. The first flat we lived in Bedford. We lived here for about 9 months. Cool house. Look at all those really modern cars parked outside. In the interest of full disclosure, I have to admit, we actually only lived in this bit. But it was still a lovely flat. So after 9 months, the landlord, who had been travelling, came back from abroad. He said he wanted his flat back. He followed all the proper procedures. He gave us plenty of time to find a new place. So there was nothing unpleasant. But in the end, it wasn't ours. When things are not going well for us, when we're struggling, our faith can sometimes feel like that. Not ours. Maybe it'll be called off. But that's not what Scripture says. We have a right. In fact, it's so amazing, it's easy to fall into what they call imposter syndrome. We know we're not worthy of being children of God. But you know what they say about a gift? It tells you nothing about the receiver. It tells you everything about the giver. All the mad Christmas tree birthday gift tells you about me is that I'm a bit strange. Tells you my wife is wonderful. The Lord has given you the power and the authority and the right to be children of God. There can be lots of voices telling us we shouldn't be children of God. Maybe our past or our failures or our circumstances or our families or our own hearts. Let the word of God overrule all of that. You are a child of God. Let me sum up and chuck in a John Calvin quote at the end. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. He created you. He owns everything. He owns you. If you are not a follower of Jesus here this morning, come home to him. The life that you are living is not the life you were created for. John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, wrote this. There are some, even amongst philosophers, who make God to be the master builder of the world in such a manner as to ascribe to him intelligence in framing this work. So far, they are right, for they agree with Scripture. But as they immediately fly off into frivolous speculations, there is no reason why we should eagerly desire to have their testimonies. But on the contrary, we ought to be satisfied with this inspired declaration, knowing that it will convey far more than our minds are able to comprehend. All things were made by him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, be full of awe. He has created everything. Be full of worship. He created you. Be full of courage. You have the right to be a child of God. Thank you.